Hey everybody, it's Coach Charlie. Welcome or welcome back to the Building Better People podcast brought to you by BoomFit. Thanks for listening today. And at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast if you aren't already. But more importantly, I hope the following interview inspires you to take the next step in your fitness journey. Enjoy. Bennett, Brandon, Robert, Perrin. Thank you guys. Awesome being here. So another coach's podcast. We changed the time. So Kyle's coaching, not on the podcast. So we'll miss him today. But what are you guys drinking? What are you drinking, Bennett?
This is a C4 electric sour. This is actually my first one ever.
Yeah, you're more of a Bang guy or just...
No, I mean, I definitely like energy drinks. Bang, I don't really... I'm like with Robert, I don't really like the flavors, so... Yeah. I actually have supported Reign. I like to drink the Reign ones just because of Strongman.
Yeah.
Like, I really like to watch the Strongman events, you know, like the Atlas Stones and like the Logs and stuff, so they supported Reign, so I just figured I'd support them.
Yeah, so your electric sour, what do you think so far?
It's sour in my mouth.
Well, hey, so Bennett, yesterday I kind of chatted with you a little bit. The other day I felt like I tweaked my back on Monday, and it feels a lot better today. But yesterday I think I was rowing and you came up and I think you asked something, and then I said, well, I actually tweaked my back. And I know you've had some back injuries. And that conversation really led me to kind of say, you know what, that'd be a great conversation for us to have with the coaches tomorrow for the podcast, just how we handle injuries and what typically is our protocol after facing injury. So I know you've had pain before. You talked about it when I interviewed you for your podcast. Give us a little kind of back history on, you know, whatever injury you had back when you had it and kind of what you've done, because you've come a long way in what, short 3 years to where you are today?
Well, the football, long time ago, like sophomore year, but that's a long time for me.
longer for me, but
yeah. So I dove for the football one time and I pretty much scorpion, you know, like whenever you dive and my chest hit the ground, but my feet touched my head.
Oh man.
So, and then I got dog piled afterwards, and I never really got it checked, but my back hurt really bad from that. I was like, well, I know something's wrong. And I kept playing on it because I wanted to be first string still. So I was like, I'm going to keep going. And then after like 2 or 3 weeks, I got to the point where I was bedridden and I had to get help to even sit up to go pee. Like, I just remember I had to call my mom in to come help me sit up. So for a while I was really hurt, and I, you know, didn't really get it checked. Like, dumb, you know, that's not really smart, but I kept, you know, eventually it healed and I was able to lift on it again. And I don't think it was too bad then, but over time I kept, like, I feel like that when that moment happened, I wasn't the same sense. So my core, I couldn't brace my core very well, so I kept trying to lift heavy on it, and I just kept, it got worse and worse and worse. And then I hurt it another, like, I kept hurting my back, like, over time, just, you know, no specifics, just, it just kept getting worse. And I finally got it checked about 3 years ago, and it was like my whole lumbar spine is damaged. My L3 has been broken twice, as you can see, two parts that are
really, you know, damaged. It was from that.
Oh yeah, I guess I could think of like several things where I heard it and I was like out for weeks, and I just didn't really know how to take care of myself. And when I finally got it looked at, you know, it was like, you know, it almost makes you want to cry. Like when he talks to you about it, you're like, hey, you're not going to be doing anything for a long time, you know. And you're like, ooh, it's a.
So having that history, how do you approach injury today? Like, if you have any type of pain that you feel, I'm assuming, let's just say last 6 months, what is your typical action plan? What is your thought process protocol?
Well, if, you know, things will start going wrong, like one, just because one, like wherever the site of the pain, of the injury is, now the above, like the spots above and below. So for example, for me, my lower back is damaged. So my upper back, my thoracic spine and the muscles that surround the shoulder blades and my glutes will start compensating for that one spot. Cause now that spot, my lumbar, is really damaged and it hurts. And so now those areas that surround it, even my abs, I started getting kind of like a hernia feeling in my belly button at one point. Like it, I remember I couldn't, you know, everything was hurting. So I was just, every time I moved or coughed, something in my belly button was bothering me really bad. So what I had to do is I started stretching religiously. Like I didn't go, you know, one day without stretching probably two or three times throughout the day. And just, you know, even like when I wake up in the morning, I'm already in my bed. So I just automatically start doing like child's pose. And, you know, I just put myself in just different positions. Even it's awkward. Like I even just put myself in position. I just kind of experiment.
Do you do that whether you're feeling pain or not?
Just I do it every day. Now
every day.
Like, if I miss one day, like I keep thinking about how much pain I was in.
And then do you feel like in the morning you kind of know based on those stretches how the day's going to go?
Oh, yeah. I start stiffening up. Like it's like the same problems continuously. So if I don't stretch, my upper back will get really tight, and then that causes pain in my shoulder. So I know my right shoulder's been damaged before. I don't want to say it's torn, but I think it was torn.
How long ago did you start doing the morning stretches?
About 2 years ago, maybe.
Wow. So are you 100% on that, or is it like 80%? Like 5 out of 7 days, 7 out of 7 days?
Oh, it's 7 out of 7 days every day now.
It's just become a habit.
Because I even watched a podcast with, you know, I don't know if anyone knows who this is, but David Goggins. He had some really psoas issues, and he almost, I mean, went to the hospital for it. And he's a retired Navy SEAL, and he's pretty extreme with, you know, I don't go that extreme with how crazy he goes on stuff, but he doesn't miss with how crazy his schedule is. I mean, he does like 1 or 2 hours of stretching a day, and you know,
that how really, much does that morning stretch dictate your workout for that day?
Everything. Like if you're not mobile, so a tight muscle is generally a weak muscle. Because it doesn't have full range of motion. You can't strengthen all of the fibers, and you start getting knots on it, you know, adhesions. And so if that happens, like you're gonna tear your muscle. Like that's more likely that it can't be fully stretched. And like say my upper back is really tight, or my lats, like the muscles that surround your armpit, and they're tight. So that means I can't get my arms over my head without my arms falling forward. So if I'm trying to if I'm doing a jerk or an overhead squat or a snatch, and I catch it in forward like this, I guess if anyone watching the video, but my hands are way in front of my face, that's going to put a lot of pressure on my joints, like my SI joint, and basically all the joints that surround the shoulder, and now you're going to start hurting your shoulder. So not only do you have a hurt back or tight upper back, now your shoulder starts hurting, and guess what? Now it's just going to continuously.
So on average, how long does the stretching routine take?
I at least stretch for about 10 or 15 minutes in the morning. Now, it used to have to be longer, but now it's like, okay, I at least just want to be mobile. And then, you know, I'll do it throughout the day now. Because, I mean, it's easier for me since I work at a gym, so I can just easily, in between clients or, you know, if I have a quick period of time, I can just stretch.
So one more question. Why is it worth it to continue to work out to you in the way you do, having the pain that you sometimes have?
Because then, like, this is what people don't understand is, like, I you know, this is not everyone, but I talk to a lot of, you know, senior citizens, like even my grandparents and even my parents. Like, they're like, well, yeah, working out like that's for young people. I'm like, that is far from the truth. Like, actually, the older you get, you need to really dial in your stretching and weightlifting, or like not even just weightlifting, like as in heavy weights like what we do, but like some kind of resistance training to build the bone density and your muscle mass too. So say if you fall, you know, when you need to be able to catch yourself and not hurt something. Or even like when you lift heavier weights, like heavy is relative according to you, but that's going to build fast twitch muscle fibers, and then those muscle fibers are actually the ones that help break down sugars. So if you have struggles with, you know, your glycolytic levels or like your insulin response, your fast twitch muscles are actually the ones that help break those down. So not only you're going to gain fat a lot easier if you don't have muscle.
It's good, man. Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. Perrin, what flavor are you drinking?
Well, cotton candy was recommended, and I gave it a 10 out of 10.
It just so happens that we only had one pink beverage in the cooler, and you happened to end up with it.
Yeah, I don't want to say that was by design, But yeah. I'm not mad about it.
Okay, Perrin, you have, you know, a very athletic background, right? Competitive cheer and gymnastics, and not only personally, but then coaching it at a collegiate level. So do you have any aches and pains, injuries that you kind of currently are I would say, just living with from previous years of being an athlete?
Well, mine is maybe the opposite of most people. So I'm very hypermobile. So I can mask a lot of things with my mobility, with my flexibility, but it's not always worked out in my favor. I hurt my back in September, and I probably haven't had a major injury since I was, I've broken a few ankles here and there, but like since, you know, but that's very different than muscular stuff, you know, since high school. But it kind of caught up with me. I would rely a lot on the fact that I just could move a certain way, and I was very casual about it. Very casually would move through some things versus taking the time to make sure that I am engaging the right muscles and, you know, elbows up on a front squat, all those things that matter, that just because you can get the bottom of the squat without doing it necessarily properly doesn't mean you should.
Let's talk about what did you do in September?
It was front squats, not heavy, just casually front squatting. No big deal. And my back just locked up, and so I put the bar down. I said, oh, I'll be fine. Went to go pick up the bar. That didn't happen. Just slowly sat down on the ground. And it took me like weeks to be able to bounce back from that. It was nothing major, but my body was saying, nope, not anymore. But a lot like Bennett, I stretch in the mornings, even now, not for very long, but you better believe there's no way I'm getting out of bed without like pike, butterfly, some of those things. And my body's used to doing that every single day. So, wow.
So, you know, what you just described, I think is, I don't want to say it's so common, like one out of two people, right? But it's probably a one out of five, maybe one out of seven people that, you know, front squats, even, you know, snatches, cleans, deadlifts, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of these things. You said it wasn't very heavy,
mm-mm.
and your form was probably good,
yeah.
and it just so happened to give out.
Yep.
So what did you learn from that experience moving forward? Because you don't have that pain today.
No. I learned that when your body tells you something, you should listen. I'm incredibly stubborn. And, you know, that one is probably my personality. Two goes back to the fact that I'm very competitive. And I know that I can do something, so I feel like I should. But that's not always true on every given day. And, you know, not every day is the same. And so when your body says no, the answer is no. Like, for example, my back was really sore yesterday and did the deadlift running workout the day before that. Didn't have any problems during the workout. Felt great. You know, did the whole thing. Borrowed Brandon's belt. You know, did it all right. And the next day, yesterday, my back was hurting so bad. But, you know, as, you know, Bennett mentioned too, I still worked out. Now I changed the workout because my back was hurting. Today, I feel great. I don't hurt at all. So sitting down doing nothing was not the answer. But I did stretch, and I just did a lower impact workout to keep moving.
Yeah,
and now
did you have any concern back in September for that, like, few days after, a week, like, oh man, is this way more serious? Like, is this ever going to get better?
Well, I mean, I was a little concerned when I needed help, like, putting on my shoes, because, you know, I'm used to doing that myself. No, I knew it would get better. I know my body well enough to know that, like, it probably wasn't anything serious, but still getting it looked at, getting the advice, keep moving. I still came in here every single day. Got on the bike, hate that bike, but that's what I needed. I needed the bike. I needed to keep stretching, you know, the glute bridges, the bird dogs, all the stuff that I didn't remotely want to do, but that was the solution to my problem.
Yeah. I think, you know, the reason I asked that is I think sometimes, and I know for me, it's been that way of like, it kind of worries you, you mm-hmm. know, you definitely don't want it to ever happen again. You know, it's and it can be alarming. It sounds like you kind of are very in tune with your body, so it probably was you psychologically handled it better than maybe somebody who is panicking and now like questioning, oh man, is this
for it to make you panic is normal.
Yeah.
And I probably should have panicked a little bit more. If I had done that the first go round, may not have injured myself quite to the extent that I did. Mm-hmm. So, but knowing your capabilities is half the battle. Knowing what's normal for you, what's normal for me may not be normal for somebody else. So knowing what feels right and when something feels off, and then
so describe that to me in the most recent experience with the deadlift running workout. Like you said, I knew something felt I guess it didn't feel off Monday, but Tuesday you said,
yeah,
yesterday I felt like something. So what is that? Because again, I kind of know what you're saying, because I know what it feels like for me, but
felt great on Monday, came in yesterday, first class of the day, we're going through the warm-up, don't hurt at all, everything is fine. I laid on the ground to demo a dead bug, and all of a sudden the whole right side of my back just cracked repeatedly every time I dropped my right leg, and I was like, that's not right, like, and it hurt. And then for several hours the rest of the day I was like, oh my gosh. And I don't know what crazy workout they were doing, but there was a 0% chance I was participating. So I took kind of what the classes were doing and then modified it for something to where I could still move. But part of their workout was wall balls. I went down and just to a bodyweight front squat and said, nope, it's not happening today. So I changed it to something else, and just I spent some time stretching and just kept moving. But I knew that it didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. But I also know that part of the solution to when my back was hurting before was to keep moving.
Yeah.
Finding movements that don't irritate it, that are still just making those muscles.
So your pain back in the fall was low back.
Mm-hmm.
So what's kind of some go-to stretches for you when you feel like that lower back kind of start talking to you again?
I go back to my old school body weight gymnastics stretches, like sitting in the straddle on the floor, sitting in the pike, anything where like even I'm rolling on my back and pulling my knees up, anything where it feels relief is an okay thing. I always end up with those injuries where ice seems to be the solution. I always want heat. It's way better than having to ice something.
Yeah.
But
like a heating pad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But finding, you know, something that works for you. But I kind of stretch my hamstrings a little bit obsessively because they feel like they get tight very easily for me, and my tight hamstrings may be different than someone else's, but I'll start to feel that creep up towards my lower back.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. Even just the leg swings, just the moving.
Yeah, just getting some movement. Well, let's transition to Brandon. Brandon, I don't know. Are you currently feeling any pain? I heard something about a shoulder, maybe.
I think it was Monday. Bothered my shoulder a little bit, and that was just kind of like a silly mistake on my part. Just not completely warmed up, so. You know, we did a mile run right before this workout, and like my body was warm, but my shoulders weren't warm, and so I probably should have just taken a little bit more time to just kind of get the body prepped.
What are you feeling?
So basically, I was doing a jerk, and as soon as it got overhead, and then I went to like recover from the position, I could just feel like this, like, I want to call it like a tearing sensation, but it's like a sharp tearing sensation, like in the right shoulder. But it wasn't anything that was just like, it didn't hurt to necessarily put weight on it, but it hurt like to move through that range
of motion. So what was the immediate like plan or action steps from that?
Well, drop the weight instantly. and then probably not the smartest thing, but the competitive side of me was like, well, I gotta finish this workout. You know, so finished the workout, and once I got through, I was like, okay, I know my adrenaline's up. Once this is kind of goes down, it's gonna start to hurt. And surprisingly, it didn't hurt as much as I thought it was going to. I don't think I did anything like severe. Maybe just more of like, maybe just kind of tore some of the fascia that's around the muscle. And nothing ligament or tendon.
Did you adjust your? Was this yesterday or the day before?
This was Monday.
So did you adjust workout yesterday at all?
So yesterday I ended up going to Alpha Sports and getting worked on, and so they did some deep tissue work, basically just kind of massage that shoulder, helped me go through some passive range of motion, and then they tape me up. So feels pretty good.
So rested.
Basically just rested. That's all I had time for yesterday.
Now, okay, so was it supposed to be a rest day, or did you kind of use your workout time to go to
So, yeah, I used my workout time to go get worked on.
Which, I mean, again, I think there's a learning lesson there too, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. Because you basically, I mean, I think everybody in this room is somebody who probably schedules their workout time into their calendar and knows exactly. And so if that's a designated workout time, typically you would have worked out, but because you were in pain, you probably scheduled it.
Yeah, and so that's one thing that that I'll always try to do is, like, even if I'm injured and it's supposed to be a workout time, I'll try to find something that I can do to better my fitness, whether it's coming in and just, like, riding the bike and doing something that's, like, an active recovery, or just coming in and working on mobility. Just something to, like, further my fitness. It doesn't always have to be this, like, super intense workout.
Yeah, so if you're a regular, like if a member's a regular 5 a.m.er and they're in pain from their back or their shoulder, you'd still come into class and maybe just better your fitness by stretching, by, you know, getting on a bike or modifying the workout.
Absolutely. And so, like, actually at the beginning of this year, I started having a little bit of hip pain. We're doing a lot of volume in our squats. And so do a lot of squatting, and then I also play a lot of soccer. So there's just a lot of stress that's kind of put on the joints. So I hadn't squat for probably like 6 weeks. Well, in the quarterfinals of the Open, they had a 4-rep max front squat. And I actually hit a PR, and I hadn't been squatting for like the past 6 weeks. And in that 6 weeks, though, I was still working on my position, my mobility, my balance, the stability in my hips. And I think just doing that helped me progress in my fitness. And I wasn't doing necessarily like a hard and intense workout. I was just like rehabbing and at the same time like getting stronger, because it showed there my 4-rep max front squat. And then I also PR'd my clean in a competition a week later, you know, and I hadn't even been squatting. And so I think you can always further your fitness, you know, through different facets of exercise, or we'll call it like stretching and mobility, you know, and it doesn't have to be just this hard, intense workout. So you can always progress even if you are injured.
How often are you in a calendar year, so 12 months, experiencing similar to what you're saying, your shoulder happened or your hip happened a few, like a little while back? Like, how often are little things like that happening?
Probably more often than I want it to be. You know, if I'm honest, like, and it's usually just like if I'm being lazy. And all it does is remind me, like, that I need to just be on top of those things. So
lazy in what way?
Like, you know, like with Monday's workout, like we did the run and then we came back, and then instead of going through like the crossover symmetry for my shoulders and maybe doing a little bit of mobility, whether it be GoWOD or just like my own mobility practices, it was like, okay, I'm just going to grab a barbell and then do like a few shoulder overhead presses and a few jerks. Okay, now I'm warm for the workout. You know, and it's just like those simple mistakes that I should know about. Sometimes you just, you know, it'll catch up with you.
Yeah, and so, I think too, there's something to say about like anytime you do things at a high level. And when I say high level, it doesn't mean you have to be a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. But when you, you know, you play golf at a high level, right? Even if it's recreationally, but you play golf at a high level, the probability of having aches and pains is higher the more frequency on the golf course. I mean, it's a completely different sport.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, a golf game, you're twisting at hyper velocity multiple times in a day that could potentially tweak something. So you could say the same for gymnastics. You could say the same for soccer. Yeah. You know, the probability of spraining an ankle or hurting your knee. I mean, the more reps you put in, and right now, I mean, fitness is technically your sport. Mm-hmm. And that's why I asked the question. And so it sounds to me like you believe those things to be preventable.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody will experience an injury at some point in time. You know, I think there's, we're always trying to get a little bit better. And you don't want to just push yourself to the point of injury. You want to be smart about it. You want to do things that are, that you know you're capable of doing. But I think it's really easy to just slip up. And like with my jerk, I don't even think it was necessarily, you know, a bad position thing. Sometimes it's just like an overuse injury, you know, like you were saying, you go through thousands and thousands of repetitions. Like eventually something is just going to be like, okay, this is, you know, a little much, and it's going to be tweaked some. So
do you feel like that kind of has influenced how you train clients?
Yeah, I would say so. I think like it always reminds me that, like, even if they're late, like, hey, we need to go through a warm up. Like, it's so important. And I think a lot of times people come in like, well, I don't need a warm up. Let's just go through the workout. And I always try to tell them, like, it's so important to get a warm up in. You know, I think when you watch people like go through a really hard workout, like say there's a workout that's like a 10 minute Metcon, and then after that you have to set a one rep max clean. And oftentimes you'll see people go in and hit a higher one rep max clean after they've just done like 10 minutes of like grinding through a Metcon. And I think when you look at it, you're like, well, they should be more tired. How are they hitting a new one rep max? And I think what it really is their body's actually primed and ready to go. And so I always try to think of that whenever I'm training people. It's like, we really need to be primed and ready to go if you want to perform at a top level or at your top level.
Yeah. So, regardless of age, right? Fitness level. Mm-hmm. Last question. What flavor did you grab?
Man, I got this bomb sickle, I believe. Frozen bomb sickle.
First time or?
No, I've had this one before. This is like my go-to. Like I've probably had 4 of these.
Oh, nice.
In the past 2 years.
Oh, I think you said the past week.
Yeah. In the past 2 years. Awesome. I had 2 of them last week, actually.
Oh, wow.
And then this one today. So
very nice.
No, it's a good one.
Awesome. Okay, Robert, man, we'll kind of close it out with you, but give me a little bit of insight into, I know you got an Achilles injury a couple years ago.
Oh man.
Let's tell you that. What is the most recent ache pain that you've had?
Oh, one of my most recent ones, what I would have to say is my knee, my right knee actually.
Oh, was that during the Open or right after?
I think that was actually right before. I was nervous about the Open because of my right knee, just with the squatting. I was really nervous about that. Honestly, I think it was just, again, I think it just had to contribute to the Achilles injury. I think I just, as I was trying to rehab the Achilles, I kind of let other things go and didn't focus on my form too much. And I think it was just not properly squatting.
Where was the pain?
It was just right in front of the knee. So as I was going down into that squat and holding the bottom of the squat, I'd start feeling this sharpness behind the patella. And so that's where I was just thinking, all right, so I just knew something was up with that, and I knew that wasn't normal. However, I didn't also, from that assessment, also knew nothing was torn, but I just had to figure out the root of the problem.
And then so when you started feeling the pain the very first time, it sounds like it wasn't enough to make you stop.
Right.
But it just kind of more so dinged at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what'd you do after that?
So I don't know how many people actually follow Squat University, but anyone who follows them, whether on podcasts, Instagram, or anything, they have a lot of mobility things for especially knee injuries. And so I just took some of their mobility ideas and started doing some like plate squats or plate pistol squats and just tried to build the muscles around the knee and getting my knee stronger, learning how to push the knee out a little bit as I'm going into a squat. Did some mobility with the band, some VMO squats. And so I just did that pretty much on a daily basis right before we worked out.
Could you see improvement?
Oh, absolutely. And absolutely. And I think once the open came around, I noticed the knee pain went away. And I think it just reminded me that even though I have an injury, that doesn't mean I need to let up on other things. I still need to keep everything working all together as one, since our body's just one solid machine. Everything needs to work together.
You had the knee pain since, or would you say it's completely gone, or is it kind of gone there?
No, I mean, I would say it's completely gone. I think, as Brandon's mentioned, we've been doing a lot of squat volume lately. So I think I was finally able to start, you know, hanging out or hanging with the squat volume that that Mayhem had assigned. I think during that time it was hurt. I was still doing squats, but I was just doing squats to a box. So I didn't have to necessarily get down that low, but I was still trying to work on the movement itself.
Have you had any other injuries that or pains that come and go kind of like that? Because it sounds like that's kind of more like a two-month,
yeah,
two-and-a-half-month
deal. I do have – I would like to say I have, like, tennis elbow in my left arm, so that's one of the reasons why I do not do legless rope climbs. I have no desire to ever do them again. If they're ever programmed in a competition – so I hope Rich isn't listening, because I don't want him to. I don't want him to program this for the classic. But if they're ever programmed in a competition, I'm going to be really nervous. But I do get tennis elbow quite frequently.
When did that start?
This actually started when we removed the ropes a few weeks ago. Kyle and I removed two of the ropes outside, and him and I were just free hanging from one of the ropes, trying to remove one, and all of a sudden my elbow started hurting. But
it's never hurt prior to that.
No, it's just one of those things. Again, I voodoo floss, I use lacrosse balls, I have so many things I do for mobility, and just any injuries I start feeling that may occur, I go ahead and attack them before they get worse. So prior to that, I used to get them, and then I just, like I said, did mobility, and then elbow got better, and I never did anything for that again until recently.
And then do you feel it in any other movement other than legless rope climbs?
I'll feel it during, you know, power cleans, anything that has to do with the barbell cycling, usually hang power cleans or push jerks, anything that just involves the extension of the elbow and putting a lot of strain on the elbow itself. That's where I'll feel it. So snatches usually not so much, but power cleans.
But you'll still do those movements, you're just aware of it.
Absolutely.
So when you have that in a workout, let's just say it's on your programming for that day, mm-hmm. What's going through your head? And you kind of probably know what you're doing well in advance. So what is kind of your thought process, let's just say, that movement that's going to bother your elbows on the workout of the day?
So I really focus on mobility and making sure I do anything and everything possible to get my joints primed and ready. So as Brandon mentioned, doing some crossover symmetry, I'll do some voodoo wrap, and while I'm doing the voodoo wrap, I'll also do occasional just flexion and extension of the elbow, or I'll hang from the pull-up bar, try to do some pull-ups while I have that voodoo wrap on there. And so while I'm cutting off that circulation, I'm still moving the joint, trying to get it primed and ready. And so I really make sure, especially for my shoulders, just because I've had a torn labrum before, I really focus on making sure the upper body is going to be primed and ready.
Let's go back to that Achilles a couple years ago. I mean, that was soccer, right?
No, was basketball.
Oh, basketball. Okay, yeah. So I would call that, in based on the two injuries you described, knee and elbow, this is a lot more of a serious injury that kind of took you out. I mean, you had surgery, right?
Yeah.
And so you played basketball, you have surgery, and describe to me really like the recovery process and timeline.
Oh man. So first of all, I'll say the Achilles injury was probably the most emotional injury. I think when it happened, I just remember feeling really emotional. I think I called Brandon. I knew he was training, but I was like, Brandon, I need help getting to the hospital because I think I ruptured my Achilles. And I remember talking to him, and I was trying everything in my power to not cry, because if anyone knows me, they know how competitive I am. They know how active I am. And so it was just one of those things to be completely active, and then all of a sudden, everything's put to a complete halt. The recovery itself was just insane. Sleeping or trying to go to bed at night was not happening. You had to get comfortable. You had to sleep with the foot elevated. You had just so many things going on at night. It was just, it was honestly, it was very frustrating.
When you say, it sounds like psychologically, it was physically obviously challenging, but psychologically equally or more so?
I'd say more so. 3 weeks non-weight bearing, had to crutch around everywhere. It was just...
And what is the kind of, when you say it was really tough on that area of yourself, like, are you discouraged? Are you depressed? Are you, like, what are all the emotions that are going through?
I think the emotions were so just not really depressed, but it was just very discouraging, you know, just used to, you know, being able to do stuff on your own. I mean, when Perry mentioned, you know, tying her shoe when she hurt her back, like, for me, it took so much effort just to get into a bathtub. Like, it was a lot of the things that I do, your normal everyday activities were just completely gone and shut out just from an Achilles tear. So it was rough just physically.
Yeah.
Just having to do everything, just one solid leg working, and then just, I think the worst part though was when I suffered a superficial blood clot in my left leg. So one of the veins ended up clotting up just from not being used. And that was probably the worst pain ever, even more so than the actual Achilles tear. So
how long was it before you actually got to do movement with that leg?
I think honestly my recovery was a lot sooner than what they expected. I left PT or physical therapy after about 5 months of physical therapy, which was pretty solid. I think they were expecting 6 to 7 months, but I think at 5 months, and even prior to that, I was already working out. So I was sitting on a bench, I was using the skier, arms only, or I'd get on the assault bike at Nutribolt, use arms only on the bike. Occasionally I'd come up here, arms only on the Echo bike. So it was just kind of one of those that I was still trying to stay active. But I think at about 6-7 months is when I finally started to work on my cleans, work on the Olympic lifts, of course, lightweight, and no jumping or anything like that. But I think at 6 months is when I finally started.
Man, moving. So, you know, what you just said, I think, is key, right? You kept moving. You kept going, even as hard as it was. And part of me feels like if you didn't, it'd been worse, right? Like you would have felt so much more discouraged.
Absolutely.
So are you now, you know, I guess it's been two and a half years almost?
About two and
or
a half.
No, 2 years. No, it was when Ames was
toured
born.
I toured on February 28th.
Yeah.
And then got surgery on May 4th.
Okay, so you're a little over 2 years. Mm-hmm. Do you still like feel anything there? Like, are you aware of it?
So for a lot of the members, they do hear me refer to my calf as baby calf. I think it's actually gotten bigger. So I think it's now at a junior level, high school level calf. But other than that, I mean, occasionally when I work long days up here at the gym and I'm coaching, occasionally the bottom of my foot does get a little numb. I think that may contribute to either the nerve blocker or still some of the nerves maybe working themselves out. Because, again, this was a year-long injury as far as just making sure the Achilles was just 100%. But every now and then I still get a little numbness in my foot.
Any particular movements worry you ever, or things that maybe you're just kind of more so like, hey, this box jumps, I don't know, anything like that?
30-inch box jumps give me the most anxiety I think I've ever had in a long time. I think even a few weeks ago we did 40-inch box jumps, and I was like, nope, not happening. It just wasn't gonna happen. I'm not jumping 40 inches anytime soon.
Well, that's awesome, guys. Appreciate y'all sharing great info here. I think members will take a lot away from it, so thank you. What flavor, Robert?
C4 Smart Energy Freedomized.
You're probably the most seasoned C4.
Yes, if you're looking for a good, clean energy drink, I would definitely recommend C4, not Bang or Rain. Sorry, Bennett.
And you don't even work there anymore. So.
I don't work there, but clean energy, go with C4.
All right, thanks, guys. Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in Bryan College Station, we would love for you to come to our gym and start with one of our programs. If you're interested in more information about our services or a free trial, visit us at boomfitbcs.com. That's boomfitbcs.com.